This is backwards in the world's eyes, isn't it? If you want to be great, if you want to be first, people serve you. If you want to be considered respectable, people give you respect and spend their attention and time on you. But Jesus says you must be the very last, the servant of the very least and of all. To further illustrate his point, Jesus takes a child that's among them. It says Jesus took him in his arms, and then he then uses that child to teach a lesson.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country. September 23rd, 2018. Today's message is based on Mark 9, verses 30 to 37.
So picture the young child. He works hard. He's building a tower, and he's quite proud of what he's achieved. After finally reaching a tower higher than he'd ever seen, the tallest Melissa and Doug toy building block tower he's ever seen a kindergartner put together. And he runs to go get mom and dad so they can see what he's accomplished, his great feat. Only when mom and dad come into the room and see what he's done, they don't shower him with praise. Rather, they start to discipline him. And that proud smile fades off of his face as he sits there in silent shame. You see his little toddler brother sitting in the corner. He's got about a dozen blocks left to himself, and he's sitting there with tears on his face. Some great feat. In his obsession, he is standing there with this great tower he's built, but it's a tower standing not to his greatness, but to his selfishness. Might it ever happen that this occurrence could take place in the family of God? That we become so focused on what makes us great that we overlook the very least among us. But this morning we continue our sermon series on family values, looking at what our God values and what we as his people are to value in his family. And this morning we consider how God considers the very least. Our family welcomes children. We look at Mark 9 and we see how the disciples had been acting rather childish. You see, Jesus had now for the second time just explained for them what he was going to do, how he was going to give his life, how he was going to be handed over and killed for them, and on the third day rise again. The disciples' response, it says that they didn't understand what he was talking about. And, of course, they had more important things on their mind, I'm sure. And they didn't ask him any questions, probably afraid to betray their ignorance in front of each other. Because what the disciples were concerned about was not the words of Christ, but their own rank and standing. It says they argued along the way about who was the greatest. Just consider that. The Lord has just told them his plan of salvation, and they're blind to what he has said, deaf to what he had said, because they're so focused on self. That is, when focused on our own ambitions, focused on our own standing, we lose sight of God's ambition and his values. Well, the disciples and what they face, that's something that probably should be familiar to us, right? Certainly, just as the disciples struggled with who is greatest, you still see that in the church today, don't you? Those who serve as pastors or leaders, they're tempted to consider their rank, consider the respect that is due, consider their standing as they serve their God. Maybe a pastor or a ministry leader might begin to compare themselves with other pastors or other ministers. And they might to look at other congregations and their budgets, their attendance, their programs, their buildings, and begin to rank themselves in comparison. The temptation's always there. Or maybe they might think that if they attain a certain academic degree or a level of smarts, that somehow they're greater than others around them in the ministry. And soon the ministry becomes a contest of which church can draw more people because they have the greater and the latest and the best thing rather than what God would have us focus on. And this happens for ministry leaders because they get lost and they look for the greatest, the smartest, or the largest. But it's not just church leaders, of course. All of God's people are tempted to begin to rank themselves in God's family, aren't they? When the person that's regularly coming to attendance and is dedicated to their Lord sees that there's someone else that just isn't there quite as regularly, don't they begin to consider in their mind how perhaps they are a more dedicated believer, greater in God's kingdom? Or the person perhaps that gives generously and their donations excel, and they might begin to think, well, I probably give twice as much as everyone else. I deserve two votes whenever we're making decisions around here. And the pride swells up as one believer sees their dedication, their service, their love to other people, and they see others who maybe just don't help others that much and consider themselves at least better than that person. But does the dedication to God, does the amount of donation, does the dutiful service to others change our status or our rank, that we might compare ourselves over and against fellow believers in God's family? Jesus has to rebuke his disciples. Striving for who is greater, they miss out on what really makes someone great. He says, as he questions them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" Disciples are silent because they know that they were arguing about selfish ambition and greatness. Silence often masks shame. Now, maybe you and I aren't speaking out loud those contemplations of who is greater as we compare, and that given to selfish, sinful pride and comparison. But what if our God were to say to us, "What were you considering as you saw your brother and you compared them in relation to yourself and your standing?" Sadly, we'd have to admit at times that we'd have to remain silent in shame because of the thoughts of comparison on who is greater. Jesus then illustrates for his disciples as he says, "You want greatness? Whoever wants to be great among you," he says, "anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." This is greatness? This is backwards in the world's eyes, isn't it? If you want to be great, if you want to be first, people serve you. If you want to be considered respectable, people give you respect and spend their attention and time on you. But Jesus says you must be the very last, the servant of the very least and of all. To further illustrate his point, Jesus takes a child that's among them. Must have been a fairly little child, maybe perhaps 2 or 3. It says Jesus took him in his arms. And then he then uses that child to teach a lesson. Ironically, we never see the disciples teaching children. We only see them putting children off. We see them acting like children, but never teaching children. But Jesus uses them to teach his disciples. And here, with that little child in his arms, Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me." And goes on to say, "And don't just welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me." To welcome the very least, even a little child, is to welcome Jesus, to welcome and honor our Lord. You want to be great, Jesus says? Make yourself the least. Serve what is regarded as the least. In Jesus' time and culture, children were not really influential. They didn't have much sway in society. And so, yes, to serve a child, to give attention and spend time with a child was to do a menial, lowly thing. How about today? What is considered lowly and menial in the work of today's world? Certainly, the world gives affection and adoration towards children, but do they regard giving attention and energy and time to children as the highest honor, as honoring God? Well, what you see, that the attitude towards children is, and don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to use daycare, but people will send their children away for others to care for them instead of raising them themselves. And once again, it's not wrong to use babysitters or daycare, but to use them as a replacement for parenting is wrong. And does our society value children when The average family household size today is half, nearly approaching half of what it had been for children as it was 40 years ago. Meanwhile, what is increasing? The average American home is 1,000 square feet bigger, approaching double of what it had been 40 years ago. What do people value as great? And once again, don't get me wrong, it's sometimes families are limited because of medical reasons or other important reasons. But other times, lifestyle, career, selfish ambition causes families to consider that they don't want to spend time with more children. So sadly, families decrease, children are pushed aside. What does our society value? I'll let you be the judge. But when you look at this unbelieving world around us, it's quite clear, and the answer is a very chilling no. As abortion is committed, 3,000 a day in our country, with so many children killed because, as the surveys say, they either don't want children yet, or they don't want children anymore, or they want their career. Does society value children when it murders them? Spending time with children is considered, yes, important, but also something that gets in the way of career, gets in the way of lifestyle, gets in the way of what really makes somebody great in the world's eyes. And those who spend time with children are relegated to the side. What about the church? Is the church sometimes tempted to swallow up this attitude of the world towards the least among us, little children? Certainly there are some churches that send the children away from worship so that they can be cared for. Not so the children can just have worship at their level, but so the parents can really have worship apart from the children. Is this wrong? Not necessarily. Does this lead to greatness? Not necessarily. And Christian homes and families can swallow the mindset of the world around us that maybe spending time with children isn't quite worth it. Our church body supports over 700 different early childhood centers and elementary schools, along with 25 high schools. But what's the trend over the course of time? Some of them, yes, are increasing. Some support is going up. But the overall trend is to decrease support, to decrease enrollment. Maybe because children, they take a lot of work. Maybe because there are greater things that we can put our time, our energy towards than the least of these. Jesus' disciples had to learn a lesson from a little child. Jesus says, whoever welcomes this little one, little ones like this, welcome me. Whoever gives attention and time in my name to serve little children, and not just to give them food, but to give them spiritual food, welcomes and serves me, Jesus says. You want to know greatness. Greatness is giving attention to what the world overlooks and treasuring the very least of these. Jesus' disciples had to be rebuked. They were called into account for their striving for greatness in the wrong areas. And we will be called into account for every time that we strove for greatness with selfish, centered goals and the wrong areas. We will be called into account every time we overlooked the least and did not serve them, including little children. What makes us great? Jesus says, whoever wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Who does this? Who does God esteem great? I know of only one, and he became the very last and the servant of all. Though he was great, Jesus, from eternity with the Father, enjoyed perfection and holiness. He became the very least so that he could become our brother. Jesus was born and came down from heaven. And he lived in this world perfectly loving even the very least, including small children. And he did that for us. And so that we might not remain the least, Jesus loved us as his children, sinners like us, who, like the disciples, fall into selfish ambition, ignore the least, but Jesus in grace came, and Jesus made himself the servant of all, including you and me, including little children. And he gave his life, just as he said, for them, so that they might become great, and so that you and I might become great in his kingdom. And Jesus, our brother, who lives just as he said, now calls us great as those who are his children and members of his household. God became the last and least to make us first. And now what do we do? Now as the family of God, as those who belong to him, have been made his children in baptism, we now have a different mindset. That our goals in life are not to make ourselves first. Our goals are not to strive after greatness as the world considers greatness, but to follow our Lord and to become the servant of all, including the least, including small children. So when a parent spends time with their child, when they put down their phone, which apparently many spend many hours on, and they spend time with their children, they're doing something great. When a congregation invests its time and its energy in saying, how can we serve the next generation, even the very little? They may be doing something the world doesn't value, but it's something God says is great. And when a Christian sets aside their own time, their own energy, their own ambition to serve the very least, including small children, they're doing what God considers great. And God, who made us first, calls us into his family. And our family, the family of God, is great because our God welcomes children. Amen.